Hello everyone and welcome to Radio Elias. With us here today there is Wilfred, Ignacy and Paula. Can you cheer up, guys?
Hello.
Hello. Ciao.
So in today's episode we decided to talk about Easter in Sicily. It was not a while ago, like not a long time ago, so we thought it would be a good idea to see how you guys celebrate it here and maybe compare it with our own countries. So my first question is pretty simple. How is Easter in Sicily? Maybe we could start with you, Wilfredo. As a foreigner, how did you experience Easter here?
Yes, well, basically at the time of Easter, I had another friend visiting, and we were here and we were like in the streets. I think it was the Friday, maybe. I don't remember. But basically, we saw like a big parade down the street, like this huge parade, really, really long, with guys bearing, it was almost like sigils of the people who had passed away during the year, like to the memory of them, kind of celebrate. And as far as I understood, the point of like the parade was also like to compare Jesus with all the dead ones, to say that in a way, now we are all together. Like, that was at least what I understood from the Italian speakers, which of course was limited. But basically, it seemed like a remembrance of them who had passed away, and somehow comparing it to something divine, if that makes sense.
It does. Now, for a more local view, what can you tell us about Easter in Sicily, Paola?
Yeah, that parade described by Wilfred is one of the typical parade that we do during Easter. In fact, it's linked to the death of Jesus on Friday, and is done to celebrate his death and then his resurrection on Sunday. And there is also a mass, a special mass that Sicilian people usually do at midnight on Sunday. And these are the two most important celebrations of Easter from a religious point of view. And then there is all the social aspect linked to food, of course, because in Sicily every occasion is good to eat a lot. And there are many typical dishes for Easter. Do you want to know some?
Sure.
Okay. There is, for example, the torta pasqualina, which is a salty food, like a salty cake with ricotta and spinach and eggs. And also in Sicily, there is a special sweet that is called Kuldura Kullova. You can see it in the bakeries, especially on the Sunday morning. And it's made with a boiled egg in the center and all around a sort of dug with colorful sugar. And of course the Easter egg, the milk chocolate Easter egg, because of the symbol of egg. But I think that also in German and in other countries like Poland, there are traditions linked to painted eggs, maybe, or something like that. So you can tell something about it.
Yes, definitely. In Poland, we are painting the eggs also.
In Denmark, too.
Yeah. I know it because last year there was a German volunteer and we did intercultural evening for Easter, and she painted the boiled eggs with us and explained all the tradition from her country.
Is it a thing in you guys' country to hunt the eggs for children, or is it just friends? I have no idea.
Yeah, like usually there's like Easter eggs, like usually it's with candy, and they're just hanging around. Like right now, for example, I've been living in like a house in Denmark for the past couple of years, and we have like a little like garden outside. And especially when my sister was a little younger, my parents always hid like sweet like chocolate eggs or something around like in the trees, and so she had to go look for them, and oh, where are they? And ah, so yeah, it's a thing too, if that's what you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant. Ignacy, you have something?
Yeah, because in Poland, no. We are not hiding the eggs. Like, the only fun children get is to paint the eggs. But, well, if I can say something about Polish traditions now, like, there is this thing called Śmigus Dyngus, and this is so weird. Because this is, like, on the, like, Easter Monday, we, like, it's cultural... There is like the tradition of putting water on strangers. Like, oh, you can just go on the street and like go with this water gun and and shoot people. And if you are not very careful, like, you can really get wet by someone. So like usually it's just in families, like family houses, you know, like the kids just wake up in the morning and try to like make everyone wet, but. Like, sometimes there are like these hooligans and they are like walking in the streets just trying to put like just throwing water. So this is actually pretty funny.
Well, that's, I never heard of such a thing. It's really original and I like it. Okay, so my next question is still for you, Paola, because you're the Sicilian representative. I'm sorry. So basically, how big is the role of the church in Sicily?
Of course, is the role of church, especially here, is really important for older people, I think, more than for us and for all the younger people. And it's very extremely linked to the, I don't know how to say, like the family traditions. So religion is linked, for example, during Christmas, Easter. Easter is more important than Christmas from a religious point of view, and so also for church. We used to stay with our family, and sometimes some family go to the church and see the Mass. So it's more something important, I think, in Italy, because for us family is very important. So, but for young people, it's not so popular, the idea, also the idea of church, because it's still linked to a traditional way of thinking. And this is all for this that young people don't really like church and about the social problems in particular.
It's almost outdated, maybe, a bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I would like to ask you guys, and I will also answer this question. Are people generally religious in your country? Maybe I should start with France and let you guys go along. In France, not that much, actually. The percentage of religious people is up to 50, I think, which means the other 50 is considered themselves without religion, sorry. So it's pretty big. In fact, half of the country doesn't link up with religion. So how about you guys?
Well, okay. So I've done a little research, and in 2017, here in Poland, there were 32 million people baptized. So in Poland, there is 37 million people. So it means that 86% of population is baptized. Of course, it doesn't mean that they believe, because you get baptized when you are like 1 year old or something. Like, so it's really like eerily. If you are baptized, it doesn't mean you believe in God, but it like shows how deeply rooted the Christianity is in our society. So, well, if you would ask young people, I think then like there is this new wave of people young people getting away from religion, but the old people are like living in the villages very often, are very they are more often connected very strongly to the religion, and it really impacts the whole country, because the main political party, which is like very conservative and strongly connected to religion, so religion makes an impact on the whole society, because the political party makes rules like connected to religion. For example, they're making abortion like very hard to do. Like they are making, there was like this big debate about LGBTQ plus communities, and the people from the political party were saying like crazy things about like really homophobic things, and it was all from their words, it's all like rooted also like in some kind of part in religion. I'm not saying that religion is homophobic, but the political party is using religion to make it like to make some homophobic statements, and this is really sad.
It sure is. You kind of answer my next question, but before getting into this, I would like to hear about the situation in Denmark.
Well, in Denmark, actually, it's pretty simple. There's not a lot of people who are strongly believing in religion. I think in Denmark, the more interesting topics really are how the people who are religious believe in religion in Denmark, because there are, of course, few very conservative religious people in Denmark, but I think they're in the minority, in a quite small minority. I think a homophobic priest is almost out of the ordinary in Denmark. Like most, at least, like in, I think at least 95 out of 100 priests in Denmark are approving of LGBTQ, at least. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a rarity in Denmark. So yeah, that's the more interesting thing, because no one is really strongly religious in Denmark, and the ones who are, no one is very strongly religious in Denmark.
Okay, so it kind of answers my last question, which was the role of the church in your country. Basically, if there are no believers, or almost no believers, we could say that the church has not such a big importance in Denmark, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we still have like the tax church, which most of the people pay, like to... it's just a small tax. It's nothing compared to the other taxes you have in Denmark. It's just a little bit to... And I guess a lot of people, even if they're not religious, see it like as a cultural contribution.
But what is it about? It's like for the preservation of
the
churches?
Yes, exactly. And then for the salaries of the priests, the organists, the choir, like this stuff. It's not a big percentage of your salary that goes there.
Okay, but still, that's quite surprising for a country that is not really religious.
Yeah, but I mean, churches need to get money for somewhere, and churches are supposed to be for everyone and open to everyone. So, but it's quite interesting the way that the church is here. For example, with the Pascha, with the Easter, in Denmark, the church I was confirmated, which is a Protestant tradition, which you basically confirm your baptization, if that makes sense. And you are like 13, 14 years old when you do this. So the point is that you are ready to think a bit. The church I was in, and with the priest I was, she was like super, super progressive, and she's maybe 70 years old. And she's one of the most inspiring and wonderful people I know. She's great. And for example, for Easter in Denmark, it's a tradition to eat lamb, because he was Jesus was born there, I guess.
The symbol of
Easter
sacrifice.
Yeah, so that's super normal. And then our priest, she said on the Easter like mass, she always used to say, "I hate lamb. I cannot stand to eat lamb." So every Easter, she rented a hot dog truck, and she parked it outside of the church, and everyone could go get free hot dogs. And I remember when I was getting confirmated, you had to go to at least 10 masses, so you knew what you were saying yes to. It was like an obligation, and. Me and my friend, we went to this Easter one once with the hot dogs, and then when everyone couldn't eat anymore, she was like, look over there in that park. There was a bunch of homeless people. Go tell them that there's free hot dogs. And so we went over and we brought like 5 to 10 homeless people over to eat hot dogs with us. And they were there, you know, with their beer breath and stinky and everything. And she was just like, come eat the hot dogs. They're free. They're for everyone. Ah. And she's, to me, she's just like truly what Christianity should be about.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Wow, that's a lovely story.
Yeah, I can just say that I think that the role of church in Italy is more important maybe than in Denmark or other countries, because historically Italy is more a conservative country, even if nowadays church is trying to renovate itself, also because of all the social issues of our times. In fact, young people are trying also to change this idea of church and doing stuff like some Wilfred described before, through the word of association to and volunteering. Church is trying to go near to the young with this sort of activities. I don't know how to explain well, but it's like church is understood that young people, for young people, doesn't matter the mass or the traditional ways to be religious, but they think that it's more important to be active in our society in different ways, okay. To be a good Christian or to be just a good person.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you. Well, in France, historically, it's a Christian country, more specifically Catholic. And you can see that in some ways because we have a lot of legacy from this. Like for many other countries, for example, the calendar is religiously based. All the holiday part, like all the national holidays, all, but it's the case in many countries. But still, if the church was not important, probably wouldn't be the case. So what I mean is basically we have legacy from our past, because for the longest, France was a Christian country. Now we for a long time, French people, and since a long time, French people have tried to separate the government from the church. It's something really important for us. The laicity is a very French concept, or we like to push it a lot. Sometimes it's controversial, because at some point, laicity sounded like being harsh towards some religion, and like currently it's controversial because it looks like they use laicity, like the separation of the fact that we don't want any religious signs in public spaces, for example. But the more it goes, the more it looks like Islamophobia, because it's often towards Islam. But yeah, basically, it's something very important in the public spaces, in the government or whatever, to separate the church from the government or whatever. So we have legacy of the church. We have all this. But on the other hand, we prioritize laicity. And it's a bit 50-50, I'd say.
I have something to add, because this is very interesting, because Poland is completely different like than all of your countries. I think Poland is mostly close the most to Italy, because it's very Catholic, and like you said that in France the government and the church, like, they are trying to be separate all the times, but in Poland no. Like the political party is using church all the time, and church is very, very, very political. Even like they have, the Catholic Church has their own television in Poland, which is so strange. Also on the...
We have a radio in Italy called Radio Maria.
We have the same. Ah! Really, it's called Radio Maria. Yes, but we have even television. And even when, you know, guys, there is like the government has their own like TV station, like BBC is in Great Britain, like Poland has TVP, and they are, since the government changed to this very conservative party, like they are broadcasting some masses, like in this is so, like this is very strange to me, like concept, because it's so connected right now. And well, I don't think it's good. I think it just shouldn't be like this anymore, because well, the religion is one thing and not everyone believes it.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it the other day, that religion is like, if you wanna, it's all about interpretation, to me at least, because, and this may sound to some like provocative, but you cannot believe everything in a book that was written 2,000 years ago. It's insane to me to believe every word of something written 2,000 years ago, as if we are in any way in the same situation today as 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that very often is so much conservative and use politics to be more modern for us and for young people. Like maybe not now, because the new political leader are not exactly progressive, but before church used it, the previous political party to give a better image of itself.
Okay, well, to conclude, I'd say that maybe religion is a very individual thing, and the government is definitely not individual. Sorry. Okay, so I think that's all we had today, right, guys? Okay, so thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode.